This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
New Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots, he scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear, he scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans, and welcome to the Thursday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome in this very upbeat, Jamie's happy, I think, guy this morning, Jamie Rivers.
Well, Jamie's not thrilled.
Jamie's not thrilled.
I'm not pissed.
This is like a Seinfeld episode. Jimmy, don't touch Jimmy. That's okay, though. But no, I was wondering how it was going to go down today, and I know you gotten on me already this morning because I'm a little grumpy. I'm a little grumpy at social media, okay? I'm a little grumpy. So speaking of grumpy, let's welcome in King Kimball.
King Kimball, there we go. King Crab.
I am a little mad here, but we'll get into it here in a second. But I'm a little disappointed in a couple of things, but not bad.
We have a special guest in studio that I want to bring in, too. This is a guy I've been friends with for a very long time, and I know, Jamie, you've obviously gotten to work with him now over with the stuff you're doing with Fox Sports. But I want to welcome in a good friend of mine for many, many years, Tim Pabst, producer with the St. Louis Blues, Fox Sports Midwest, doing the games down there in the truck, handling all the business. But all-around great guy, too. Timmy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys.
I want to say that the reason I was excited about having Tim on today is obviously we've been friends for about 30 years.
Long time.
30 years. And I remember Timmy had done some different things when we were younger and was kind of like trying to decide what he was going to do. And he bit the bullet and went back to school to do exactly what he's doing right now. It was amazing because, you know, we love the Blues. We love sports in general. And Tim had a great job and said, you know what? This isn't really what I want to do. Gives it all up, works, pays for his own way, gets an apartment, does the whole thing, does like it's almost like, you know, Johnny Be Good type thing. I mean, he goes out, local boy done good type thing, goes out and says, this is what I want to do. He gives all of it up, goes and does. And at the time, I know me and Mike were like, man, that was an awful good job he gave up there. And then next thing you know, you're doing exactly what you wanted to do. So I'm happy for you. And you do a great job. Obviously, you see the Blues on a day-to-day basis. So we wanted to have you in and get your thoughts as we head into the second round of the series. So welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Very nice words from you, but I haven't quite looked at it like that. It's just woke up one day and things kind of fell that way, and just kind of followed my heart. And I had a few people supporting me, and you guys, of course. And, you know, it's funny. I tell people this all the time, but I go to work every day trying to produce our hockey game, thinking about what you guys would think of the show that we're trying to put on. And I know as long as you guys are happy and the players are happy with the coverage we give, then we're doing the right thing. So I can promise you that every night I sit down a TV truck to produce a hockey game, I'm thinking about you guys back home.
Well, and the interesting thing that I want to get the piece on is because, like, knowing that you're doing that and knowing you as long as I have, you're no different than us. Like, you're a fan, too. So yeah. Sometimes it's got to be odd sitting there maybe fighting back emotion and just doing your job. So really interested to get your take on this today. But
sure.
Before
we go any further, okay. Here, let's get something straight, okay?
Yeah.
One in the room here doesn't belong, and apparently it's a guy, me, that isn't a Granite City guy here.
Oh,
because
here we
we've got all these Granite City. It's
here
a love fest going on here. I tell you what, if you could see in the studio, they're all snuggled in together over a little warm fire. So we got Kimble and Pabst, and
Lucy,
we got Cromer.
That's Lucy Lake over there. What are you talking
about? Lucy Lake, but hey, come on. He's a little Granite
right.
City. You guys are like all brothers. I think you got
how
secret
you
tattoos or
now?
Something now.
Kimby, how long you lived in Granite now?
Long enough. I've been there 20 years. And,
oh, yeah.
And he's the first guy that's ever come public and said he was a friend of yours. So I don't know what the hell we're doing. So I got to listen to him a little bit more to see where the value is here now.
He's got pictures on me.
That's he must. Goodness gracious. So enough of the love fest. Me and my buddies get together. It's just an absolute chirp fest. So enough of the hugging and kissing around here, okay, boys?
No, I'm just, you know, he's a good friend. I was proud of him. I mean, that was a bold move he made there. Listen, I remember when he went to work for Bud Sports and was making $5 an hour, and me and Mike looked at one another and went, did he go to St. Louis University to get a degree to make $5 an hour? But it all worked out real well for you.
You and a lot of people felt the same way. My mom was the only one that hung in there and said, ah, keep at it, Timmy. It'll work out. So.
Hey, we bought you a few beers when you were making $5 an hour. So now we're back on the beer. Here we go.
Free beer has its perks sometimes.
Well, we want to get into the obvious first game of the series last night, as it was an interesting affair. But before we do, we want to remind you to make sure you check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. It's where you can find the show. You can also subscribe, which is the easiest way to get a notification each time we put out the podcast. Very simple to do, free. It'll walk you right through it. You just click subscribe to the podcast. It'll take you. You just choose your mobile provider, and boom, you're done. Twitter right now is what's got me fired up, and we would like you guys to follow us. And if you're a Blues fan, we're going to follow you back. At STL Blues Podcast is where you'll find us there. It's like a different version of drunk Twitter, what's going on when things aren't going so well with the Blues. But we're going to hang in there at STL Blues Podcast. Of course, Facebook as well is great. You're not limited to the 140 characters. We can share a little bit more there as well. Just type in Blues NHL Podcast and you'll find us. And, of course, special thanks to lineupmedia.fm, the fastest growing podcast company on the planet. If you want to listen to what you want to listen to, when you want to listen to it, and how you want to listen to it, make sure you check them out. If you're listening to this, you're obviously a podcaster. I guarantee you will find another podcast that you will enjoy. They take your entertainment time very seriously. Gentlemen, things didn't go as well as we would have hoped last night. I know there was a lot of frustration on Twitter. It felt like 50 years of fans, and I know, Jamie, you looked at me when I brought that up, and you're shaking your head, and you want to punch me, and that's fine. But it was a roller coaster of emotions, it felt like, last night. And I know you want to punch me over other things other than this, but then that's fine. You can take your free shot if you want. But the reality of it is...
Just pick one.
But the reality of it is, that's what that game felt like to me last night, was like all the games rolled into one. I mean, it just, I don't understand. I'm sorry, I'm going to give you my fan perspective right now, and then you do whatever you want to do with it. I just don't know how the hell you come out with some of these guys, no energy. I'm sorry, I'm going to say it.
Chrome, stop right there. Hang on. We were way up on the shots right away.
I'm not talking.
I can't even let you get involved
here. There's a couple of guys that their feet weren't even moving.
Here we go,
it's irritating.
No. Listen,
irritating. Sorry.
You know, you're watching it. If they won today, you'd be sitting in here waving pom-poms. So
no, I wouldn't.
I'll tell you right now.
No, I wouldn't.
Shots were 11-1 at one time, weren't they?
They didn't have a bad start. They were doing fine. What killed them was the penalties in the second period, and that changed the entire game. They ended up getting, I think it was 13 of 26 shots that they had at the time on the power play. And they were 4-on-3 and 5-on-3, and they're scoring goals left and right. So you talk about bad start, BS. They had a good start. They came out.
So let's I'll go with Jamie here. Let's common sense here. And I don't know what you guys talked about on Monday. I didn't get a chance to listen to what you guys were doing on Monday, but every game in this series is going to be a one-goal game, probably. That's how that's the way the Blues are playing right now. Positives out of the game last night: you dominated the first period. Blues did. They did. Two, they got to Pekka Rinne, who I didn't know if you were going to get to him or not. I didn't know what was going to happen with him. Three, the only thing that got me a little bit worried here is the fourth goal that Alan Leslie lets a bad goal in, but so that happened.
Kimby, he's in the middle of trying to poke at the guy.
It's
not a bad goal.
The first three goals. Here's where I get mad at. Because I got to watch a goddamn TV, and I got to see Pierre Maguire doing this analyst, and I'm going crazy. And so when the kid gets hurt in the game last night.
You had a great tweet on that, by the way.
When the kid gets hurt in the game last night, and then they got to take a 5-minute break for the ambulance, whatever was going on, And I got to listen. And then JR comes on, and they ask JR a question, and boom, he gives him a good answer. JR said the goalie's – well, then they score a goal. And Pierre Bregard goes, well, JR was right. The goalie – Allen should have had the puck. There was a 6'4" guy standing in front of the guy. He couldn't see the puck. And McGuire comes out and says his stupid shit. And I'm going, you don't see what's going on, man. All three Nashville goals, and I'll give Nashville the credit to this, and this, the Blues picked up when they started to score the goals. But what was the theory last night? Shoot the damn puck and go to the net. That's I'll guarantee you, Peter Laviolette said, someone get in front of this damn goaltender, and let's see what he's got. And they were crashing the net. All three goals went there, and then the fourth one goes unluckily, gets in there. And then the Blues finally start scoring goals when they started going to the damn net. You know, that's what, even on the tying goal, Svoboda gets. The biggest thing on there, Svoboda makes a great shot. I'll give it to him. But I'll guarantee you, Pekka Rinne's looking at this big moose coming down the middle at him. That's got a little effect on him. And so the thing from last night that I learned, you got two hot goalies going, and what did the coaches want them to do? And the Blues caught on a little bit later, but they got there, was go to the goddamn net and shoot the puck. And that's basically how what Nashville did last night.
And that's what I'm upset. How in the world can it take you a period or two to figure that out?
They were dominating them, though, the first period, Chrome.
Go watch the tape. I got
you've
guys
isolated
coasting.
Like two incidents, and that's
two
gonna,
players.
That depicts your whole game for you.
Well, I'm upset at it.
Well,
I don't know how the hell you can come out and not skate your ass off.
That's why you're wrong. It's a 60-minute game.
Yeah.
All right.
Those two didn't skate hard in the third either.
Well, these two didn't play well, or you feel didn't play well. I would agree with both of these players that didn't have their best performance, but at the end of the day, they did come out, they matched it. It was 11-11 shots on goal after the first period, which to me is far and beyond what they were against Minnesota. I mean, it was like shock and awe playing the Wild in the first round. So, you know, coming out and being even there, and then in the third period, coming back and making it 3-3, unfortunately losing on, you know, the tweener goal there. But the second period is what becomes the turning point of this game. And the second period, they ended up with a 4-on-3 and a 5-on-3 against. And there's no secret, Kimby, like you said, they were trying to load up Josi and Subban and just let them shoot the puck.
And let's go to there for 1 second. And I'm not going to be a guy that bitches about refereeing or anything. Penalties happen and that. But the one call on Subban last night, I just watched about 5 sticks be broken on the ice over slashes, and Subban gets a little whack on the damn pads, and they throw a guy in the penalty box. What the hell is that all about? You know,
it's because he embellishes it.
That was just, you know, if the referee's going to do that, then if you're going to make that call and not make that call at the start of the game, then don't make it late in the game. And as you, as a player, Rivs, we've always lived by that rule. If you're not going to call it early, then don't call it late, please.
It has to stay the same. I mean, Timmy, you would know from watching enough games and seeing, you know, through the Fox Sports Midwest, all the 100 TVs in there, you see a call that's made early in the game, and to me that dictates usually how they're going to call it for the rest of the game. What do you think?
Well, it's the same thing. You guys raise a great point. We say the same thing. We feel the same thing you guys see. Obviously, John Kelly and Darren Pang, you know, basically talk to me on talkback in the truck. They can't say it on air, but we say it right away, you know, it's going to make for a tough game. Now, we saw one of the games in the Minnesota series, the penalties got crazy too, just like that. And then we can only imagine, I've talked to you guys forever and every other player that says it's really difficult to adjust after that when you're not sure. I think the thing that bothered me about Brodzi's slash was he's killing a penalty there. Mm-hmm. You know, we're already 4-on-3. He's killing a penalty. He takes a whack at a guy. Normally, you're gonna allow that whack to happen. The guy's shorthanded, and then they go ahead and make the call only because the stick broke. Now, from what I've learned over the years, and you guys have told me this, I hear this all the time. If this was 95 or 2000, these are aluminum sticks, wooden sticks. Those sticks don't break.
They don't break.
Right?
No. Nope.
So now they're making the call as a result of the breaking of the stick, not really the intent of the slash. Was the slash on the hands? Was the slash a scoring opportunity to negate that? If it was, then I think everybody would agree that it was a fair penalty. But again, you're trying to kill there. You're trying to do everything you can. And as you guys well know, in the playoffs, things tend to be a bit looser. And, I was really frustrated with all the calls that happened in that series of time. Rivs, we were standing there in the box, and when these things started to go down, you just knew right away. You looked right at me and said, well, this is easy pickings for the Preds. They're just going to feed 76 or Josi, and you knew once they started bombing it from the top of the circles, bad things were going to happen, and you said the same thing. And why the guys on TV, I don't know. We didn't have the audio up in the room there, but listen, it's pretty simple hockey at that point. you feed the points, everybody goes to the front, and the one went off the skate. I think the third goal went off the skate.
The first one goes off the stick.
Okay, yeah.
Deflection on the first one. The third one goes off the goalie, off Jake, off the skate, back in the net.
But the first three goals all had 76 was involved in all that. And you said he's got one of the hardest bombs in the league. So
here's a question for the fans out there. And sorry, if I'm not mistaken, and believe me,
probably are.
But you tell me
again.
If the stick comes down on the other stick in any fashion and it breaks, that's a slash. They have to call that.
They have to. Here's where the BS. They don't have to, but it's been kind of, I don't want to say unwritten rule, but the referees, if there's a stick broken from a slash on a play, they deem that it's become an unfair advantage for the player that's doing the checking, because the player who has the puck has full control of the puck. You slash down, you break his stick, you've denied him every opportunity from that point on. Now, what I don't like about it is that you have different flexes in sticks. You have different stiffnesses. So if I'm a guy that plays with a really stiff stick, you like that one, Kimby?
Yeah. Easy.
Easy. And I come down and I'm...
Is it the blue one?
and I'm chopping. yes, it is, actually. And I'm chopping down on a guy that has a whippy stick. Well, if that whippy stick just breaks just because... Or, you know, maybe he blocked a shot earlier in the shift and it went off the stick and it's a defective stick. Now we're calling a penalty based on the fact that, oh, well, you know, it denied him the chance. But we don't know that that stick might be a piece of crap from earlier in the game, or it's just a crappy kind of stick, or the stick manufacturer. Anything that happens, I just think it's...
But
I think it's bullshit that we can say, oh, that's a penalty because a stick broke.
But it's such a different game now, though, Ribs. They're whacking all the time now. And when the stick breaks and you're going to call on that, it's especially playoff time, you think the referee have enough common sense to say, nah, I get it, you know. But if it was in a scoring position, I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
This is in the goddamn corner when he's killing a penalty. And I'm going, come on, he didn't hurt him that damn bad, you know.
My issue is guys are getting broken fingers. We've seen it. Of course, the Mathot one is the most publicized. But guys are getting broken fingers and getting friggin' slashed across the hands and the wrist. No call. Because, you know, the stick didn't break.
Yep.
Well, his hand broke or his wrist broke, but his stick didn't break, so we're going to let that go.
And it's getting bad, too.
So that's what pisses me off, is that you got these guys in these situations where they're hacking down on thumbs, fingers, wrists. No penalty because there's nothing broken, or so it seems. Anyways, to the naked eye, you can't see a broken wrist. But then if you give a little whack, even sometimes a one-handed whack across a stick, stick breaks, automatic penalty.
Steen got one off a face-off last night.
Yeah, well, which is ridiculous, too. So, I don't know. The NHL has to figure out some way that maybe those calls that, you know, inside the danger area, you know, whatever they got to deem that...
Let's get away from the stick for a sec, Rivers. Let's talk about something here. Here's where the game changes, I believe, last night. And I think Nashville set the tempo of this whole series. Look, they've been bringing three boys into the ballgame last night that were coming in for a bunch of bullshit. They were coming in to run the hell out of everybody, and that's what they were going to go do. The Blues, this is the part where I figure the Blues took too long to figure this out, because these guys were running the shit out of everyone. I know Ryan Reeves is running around doing that, and he was doing his job. But the Blues, the series... We started to become a playoff series in the third period. The Blues finally started to respond to this nonsense. And I just wish last night that Sobotka would have took about three steps over and grabbed Neil and just kicked the living shit out of him and ended that prey, because Neil's one of these guys that we got to the playoffs and we're going to be a tough guy now.
Yeah.
And he's pushing these guys out the faceoff. And Sobotka, he went and took the faceoff, and I was just praying. I said, just skate over to him and say, let's get the kick the shit out of you right now. And he probably could.
That's what I'm talking about, not the shots on goal in the first period. I don't understand where that intensity was at early.
If you go through playoff series, though, Cromes, and Riv's been through this – you just come out of a battle with somebody. So you've been in a series with Minnesota. They've been in a beer with Chicago. Then they've had some time off. You don't just walk in and there's a hatred there. That's not going to boom. Something's going to spark a hatred. And that don't roll
so
your
they
eyes.
Had, I'm so just, they had a hatred for us, but we don't have one for them?
I'm just telling you what Gordie Howe and these guys lived with themselves. Okay. There becomes a hatred. And when that hatred becomes, then it's on. So this series is a long way from over, man. We're going a long way here. Yeah. And but what I like is – I think the Blues figured it out now that we're in a goddamn series, and now it's time for us to buckle up here and go play ball.
Well, we've got multiple things that kind of came through the fan experience last night. Some of them match identical to what Jamie had written down today. So I'm going to bring a few of these things up to get your guys' thoughts on them. Timmy, you obviously as well, without obviously calling out anybody or doing anything. A couple of the things you brought up, they're going to try to do some things and cause some nonsense problems. What about the issue? It looked to be not much, but I don't. But we weren't on the ice. The Watson deal on Tarasenko as he skates by.
That's hockey.
Yeah. What was?
Well,
the deal
yeah,
with that?
It's hockey. You're right.
Someone
okay.
Responded.
But that's the thing is, you know, you have this Watson guy who. Well, exactly, Watson guy, right? We're not even really sure, right?
Does he have a first name?
He comes by, he skates by Vladdy, and he gives him a little complimentary Gordie Howe on the way by, a little, take that elbow with you. Vladdy goes down. Now, whether Vladdy was really hurt, kind of hurt, maybe embellishing.
I think he was hurt.
I don't know. The fact is this, though, at the end of the day, he just elbowed your best player in the face. Intentionally, because there was no play to be had there by anybody. And I think the response had to come, especially like at the end of the second period. We have big bodies on the ice. We have our fourth line. I believe Bortuzzo is actually on the ice at the same time as well from the back end. And 51 is on the ice for Nashville. This is the end of the second period. This just happened in the second period. And the buzzer's going, and it's 3-1 for the opposition. Hey, it's payback time.
Yeah,
you go out of your way to find that son of a bitch, and you don't have to go take a penalty. You don't have to be a mutant about it. You walk, you skate over, and you grab him by the face. Nobody's calling that anymore. You grab him by the face until you give him no chance, nothing else to do, but he's got to drop his gloves to try and survive out there. And we had enough guys on the ice where it could have been three and four guys all going after the same player, or turn, and Pekka Rinne's got to make his way at that point to his bench from there. Somebody go right in and stand in his way. And you'll get this going because you cannot, and I know, Kimby, it's got to drive you nuts. You have the best players. So let's back it up to Brett Hull days because this is what we reference a lot on here because that's kind of what we know. Brett Hull just got elbowed in the face. You're on the ice at the end of the period against the guy who did it. You're down 3-1. What are you doing that point?
I know what I'm doing, but here's what, and this happened when we played Minnesota when Minnesota's beat us out. But I had a guy like Bobby Bassett on my team. So if there was a little weasel that was doing it, Bobby Bassett would go take care of that. But when Shane Cherla and Basil McRae, they were doing it, we got to game two. They wanted to beat his first game, and Shane Cherla's running around like that's the way Shane played. I respect the guy who I played. He was a hard nosed player. But I caught him in the second period at the end of the game, and then I presented myself to him, and then we got to that point.
I love the way he says that. I presented myself to him.
Listen, but we don't need. Where it started, are you allowed within 60 yards of a school?
Where it started, I am. Where it started was, you know, Bureau. Remember Mark Bureau?
Yeah, Mark Bureau.
He was on Minnesota's team, and he played between the two donkeys there at the time. And he was running around, and I was going after him, cross-checking him and trying to get him to – and he wasn't going to fight me. And then Charlie came over, and I said, well, I'll take care of this here. But that – so what Rivs is saying – but here's the point, though. So if no one's going to respond to that guy, then what do you do, Rivs? Then I get one of my guys like Hartnell, and I say, where's Forsberg at? Why don't I go rock his goddamn chain for a while here? Why don't I go get Subban's kitchen here? And why, but so Hartnell, these guys got to come play this ball game. You know,
yeah.
Someone's got to get in here because you know how it goes.
Well, I think that's my point, Kimby.
Fighting's hard to do in the playoffs because guys can sucker you in, and then you look like a horse's ass when you're doing that. You know what I mean?
Well, here's my point on that: is there has to be retribution.
Correct.
In some way,
some
and
way.
It doesn't mean you have to go out and take out Watson's head off, although that would be ideal.
Be nice, yes.
But there's other ways to do it.
Yep.
And Timmy, you've been around long enough to see the great group of guys starting, you know, Kimby, Chaser, Twister, some of the best guys that didn't fight the other tough guys in the playoffs but went straight after their number one player or did something different. So from a fan's perspective and a guy who's been around it for a long time, what are your feelings on this?
Well, it's the same thing. The game has changed. You guys probably talk about this all the time. I mean, I see it every day. I don't know if it's due to the instigator rule or whatever it have you, but we don't have the Bob Bassins anymore. We had the big guy versus the big guy fight, and it's almost like a gigantic MMA or WWE match anymore. It just seems like that's, you know, two little guys hit each other, then Reeves pops out against their tough guy, and then we're going to get a fight. And that's what's disturbing to me. I mean, I grew up as a smaller guy and loved the physicality of the NHL game and of hockey, and love that you would see Bobby Bassin go toe-to-toe with a guy. And you just don't see that anymore. And what I can guarantee you, at least it felt from me standing there last night, was that after Bortz takes out Fiala with a very, you know, a tough injury for that kid, we kind of expected something was going to happen back. I just got the feeling that our team was like, oh, shit, something's going to happen. Okay. And then, but it was almost like they, you know, we owe them one sort of thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
And I talked about on the ride over. Man, if I'm Bortz and I'm playing in that game, yeah, I'm gripping my stick a little tighter and expecting somebody to hit me. But I tell you what, if I had the opportunity to drill the next guy 20 seconds later, I'd hit the next guy 20 seconds later. Because, again, like you said, I mean, you've got a team down a little bit. He's a great player for them. He had a great series against Chicago. And we talked about this. These guys come flying in front of the net anymore. Nobody pays the price for going to the net. And it just seems to me that, yeah, you know what? When they went after Vladdy, I was kind of curious to see how we'd react. But I'm like you. I would have. But again, I'm 50 years old. I grew up watching hockey in the 80s and 90s. And, you know, retribution in those days was a lot different than what it is now.
Well, and I always say Scotty Hartnell. It's Upshaw. I always get those two convinced for some damn reason.
Kimby,
they were both on Nashville.
Everybody in this room and everybody who listens is absolutely totally used to you fucking up everybody's names.
Lane.
My mom gave me
Laney.
Parenko, Leaney.
Mom gave me whiskey in my baby bottle. That's where it got me. Don't do whiskey in the baby bottle.
Sestatoto. I mean, I'm telling you, we've had some beauties. Don Cherry's got nothing on you, buddy.
Hey, Timmy, I was going to ask you, with what you do down in the truck, with your hockey background and enjoying the sport, I would think there was a day, and I would hope it's still be today, when something like that happens, you guys got to start thinking, okay, let's keep a camera close by because somebody's going to do a little pay, and then nothing happens.
Yeah, well, it's funny you said that. So when I first got into the business, my boss at the time said, do you play sports? And I go, yeah. And he's like, do you play hockey? I go, yeah. And he's like, okay, good. I can teach you television, but I can't teach you how to play a game. So if you know how to play any game, whatever game it is we're broadcasting, as a producer especially, and then as a director who's in charge of the cameras, you guys, you know, we have to be as quick as the players are on the ice. So we've got to anticipate what we think is going to happen next. So, Jimmy, you're bang on. When something like that happens in a game with Fiala, the director's immediately cutting to Revo because we know he's going to be chirping right away. We usually have one camera. We call it an ISO camera. It isolates on anything, and usually it's away from the puck. We go right to the guy who's foaming at the mouth right away. And for me, it's real easy. We just go to 75 and see what he does. Having said that, you kind of wait to see what happens in the play. And again, usually the coach will throw the fourth line on the next shift because he wants to make a statement about that. But that was such a weird situation last night. Again, I mean, I mentioned this to you, too. We saw both teams kind of involved in the injury at times and kind of chatting with another. I mean, Vladdy and another Pred carried the – which is a great thing. I mean, carried the stretcher all the way, you know, helped the ambulance crew all the way to the injured player. You know, and I just felt it was weird. It was almost like being at a football game where some kid gets drilled and goes down and they're bringing it out and everybody's like, oh, shit. You know, sort of moment.
Kimmy, so, would you have helped with the stretcher if you were on?
No.
Well, I don't think the guy. I don't think the guy. He hurt his. How bad is he? What's the result on that?
I don't know. I didn't see it this.
But now,
morning,
I would have really maybe helped if the guy goes in head first. Then I got a concern there. But you're going in like that. Nah, come on. He can get up and go.
Well, and you know what? I'm with you on this because, and watching it last night, like. I'm not comparing it to war because obviously war is a real serious thing. But when you get into a playoff series, this is why we talk about, oh, it's so fantastic that we have the handshakes at the end of the series. That's your time when you go, hey, man, I hope you're all right. Hope your leg's okay. Hope, yeah, sorry about that slash in the face. You know, whatever. That's your time there. In the series, I wouldn't have been anywhere near that guy. No. In fact, I probably would have been chirping him to get the hell up. Hurry up. You're still in the game. Like, I would have been doing more. Just so the other team would be like, what the frick is wrong with this guy? You know? What an asshole. Let's get him back. To me, the playoff series.
Almost, it almost looked like there was four doctors and four lawyers coming on the ice.
Oh, my Lord. I'm telling you. We had everybody in there from here to Kansas City trying to take care of this kid who looked like he twisted his ankle.
I cannot be happier to hear you guys taking on this side of it. Because, again, I'm asking myself last night, am I the only one going, look, I hope he's okay, but it wasn't his head. I mean, people are like, let's get a condition. Let's get a status. He's conscious and speaking. I'm like, He didn't hit his head. It's his leg. Now, that sucks.
And everyone goes through that. I feel sorry for the kid in that point because you're not going to build. Maybe, I don't know what his injury is. First off, I had to find out what it was, but maybe he doesn't get to play the rest of the series or maybe the rest of the playoffs. So I
feel good.
Bad for it. Yeah, but it wasn't.
What? Is that the wrong answer?
Bortuzzo didn't go intentionally do it. It just happened.
No, in fact, Kimby, he made an unbelievable defensive play. And Timmy and I were standing side by side in the booth last night. And Bortuzzo, just like you and I talk about, he came over, he went wide, he turned, went stick on puck, so stick on stick the whole way, and then body on body, the puck was still there, and he drilled him.
Yep.
Now, it's not Bortuzzo's fault that the guy tried to turn, he was off balance, his leg went in. Hey, guys, I'm telling you what, you put the gear on, this is the way it is. Deal with it. It's happened to me, I'll never forget, in Phoenix, one of my very first playoff games, Big Walt. Yeah, same thing. I was going back to get a puck as a defenseman to try and gain the net, and he timed it just right and clipped me and just about blew my head off my shoulders as I went flying into the boards. Got up, played the game, you know, went right back after him, but I knew it was going to happen. I wasn't pissed off. I knew that they were out there to send a message. It was game one. So last night, same thing. Bortuzzo plays the guy perfect and then lights him up at the end, which to me, that was like, I loved it. I was so happy that he did it. Injury is unfortunate. We don't wish injury upon anybody, but it's the playoffs. It's a physical game. You're establishing yourself. If he's hurt, he's hurt.
Yeah.
When the series is over, you shake hands, you walk down the tunnel after, you see, hey, how are you doing? You know, this, that, the other. But during the series, it's got to be all out hatred.
Yeah, well, and if this is Blues Hawks 1992 playoffs that hit happens.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I remember my first hockey game was a Blues Hawks game in the playoffs. And I was physically scared. I mean, we had 8 fights in the stands.
I say you'd have had fans coming on the ice to try and fight Bortuzzo if that was the case.
Well, exactly that. And so now I'm waiting for an escalation of the physical play, right? Because that's what would have happened back then. But that's not what happens now. You know, now it's like, oh, I'm sorry. And I
hate going back. But when we talked about when I was going the Blues in the third period, finally got it. When we played back in the day when there really was a rivalry, there was a rivalry going on. Right now, the Blues are trying to create rivalries. Back then, we had them. So, like, at the first games coming in warm-up, when Stu Grimson and Peluso and then Chaser and me were coming across the blue line, you're pretty well brawling right there, you know.
Yep.
And because, first of all, when I go out on the ice, I tell Chaser, hey, we're probably not playing tonight much, so let's just start this shit now and get it over with. So, because we're not going to get a chance later on. But there was a hatred then, and that's just the way it was. And so now the Blues, not just the Blues, hockey in general, you're going to get lucky with Washington and Pittsburgh because they do have a rivalry going on.
Yep.
But you're sort of these new things going on, how they restructured the league and everything. You're sort of having a new rivalry starting. Yeah. So, and I think the Blues got a prime example here, the Nashville. I think there is a little hatred. Hopefully, this series sparks an even fire because the fans love that. The fans
for sure.
Die for this stuff here.
Yeah, so. And the intensity is part of it. You're exactly right. I mean, we played 5 times in the regular season, first time ever since Nashville's been in the league that they've faced them in the playoffs. So you're right. So the intensity is going to ramp up. I can tell you this. Look at the regular season Blues Winnipeg. There's intensity.
Yeah. Oh, God, don't bring up Winnipeg with Kimball.
Well, my God.
Are you a Jets fan?
Wait a minute. Hang on a second. God. Didn't you ride over here with him?
I should have warned him. Don't talk about the Winnipeg Jets.
There's 3 things you don't bring up in here, Winnipeg being
really?
One of them.
Yeah.
They're the best 500 team in the history of the NHL.
Well, listen, I'm not going to go into that.
Kimby's getting a Jets tattoo done next week. Underneath it's going to say 500.
Nice.
You had no idea, did you?
No idea. I just walked right into that one. But that's what I'm talking about is a rivalry. You know, I looked, did some stats. You know, they came out when Nashville, you know, swept Chicago in the previous series. Oh, it's the first time at 8-1 and blah, blah, blah in NHL history. And I'm like, dude, I was standing at the Zamboni door when Ed Belfour went crazy. In game 4 in St. Louis in 1993, and the Blues swept the Hawks. Now, we were in divisional playoffs. It was 1-4 then, technically not 1-8. But if you look at the points, the Blues had the fewest amount of points in the Western Conference.
Right.
The Hawks had the most. and the Blues swept them.
That was a big upset.
Nice call, Timmy, on the technicality.
Well, good Lord.
You know, that's someone's what a producer does.
He's had a few extra minutes with Google.
Well, what happens is it sparks a memory, and that leads to, thank God, the internet and these phones. So that's where we come up with that.
Kimby's got a flip phone, so they can't do that.
I got spell check on mine.
Yeah, obviously not for the players' names.
I just got it now.
You should read the pronunciations, too.
I went up north to that Cree school that you burned up and screwed me all up.
Sorry, Jimmy.
The one thing that I was excited about, even though they lost last night, and they should, I mean, momentum's that way. If you're writing a script for the game, it ends with the Blues winning in overtime. Having said that, and we talked about this a lot, Jamie, is our scoring chances, quality scoring chances last night, probably combined more than any of the five against Minnesota.
See?
So there's a reason to be positive. We're scoring goals. We could have scored two or three more easily.
Let me ask you a question, and I know you were at the game. Did you go to the game last night, Chrome?
No.
No, he didn't see anything. He just wants to bitch and moan today.
No, I watched it, and I recorded it and watched it back.
But I watched it. So I watched the game on TV last night, and a question to you guys. Is I thought in the first two periods, I didn't think the fans were really. There was nothing really to get into, and then third period, all of a sudden, it was going crazy.
Yes, obviously, this is true
for different reasons. Yep. But I thought it was pretty quiet in there.
Yep.
It almost reminded me when the Blues played last year, and they get into the third round, and when I watched the Chicago series, and who else did they beat last year? The first two,
Dallas.
I watched those two series, and the place was electric. And then all of a sudden, San Jose comes in, and it was like going into a morgue all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Well, and it felt like the first maybe period and a half, it was like that last.
No, the first period was actually not too bad. You know, fans were looking for a reason in the first period to kind of get excited. But guys, I'm telling you right now, what killed the momentum, what killed the energy, what killed everything was the second period. You combine right away, less than 2 minutes into the period, you have a guy go down, Fiala, with a lower body, whatever, injury, broken, twisted, sprained.
Yep.
He goes down forever. The ambulance, you got to replace. They do an ambulance swap. It's 10, 12 minutes later before you have the play start up again.
Did you ever know that rule? I never knew that.
First of all, never. And I'll tell you what.
There's got to be an ambulance.
Anybody who's listening, if you're downtown St. Louis, don't call an ambulance because it takes forever for it to get there, okay? I'll tell you right now. You're better off to try and drag your ass to the hospital because the ambulance isn't coming.
Throw them in the back of the caddy and let's go.
But that injury and then the two penalty kills, the 4-on-3, the 5-on-3, and then certainly them scoring, had just killed some of the buzz in the air. And so coming back in the third period, when the Blues got on the board, or when they started, you could just feel that momentum coming. The fans finally had that reason again to get reinvested in the game, you know?
I think that's why we talked about it. The first goal is so important.
Oh, yeah.
So important. And had they scored first, Kimby, I think you're right. The place would have went nuts. I remember in the previous series against Minnesota, the home game, I believe it was game four, actually game three, I think, the NBC game we did not televise. I was there working, and Jake made some unbelievable saves. And during the entire TV timeout, which is about 2 minutes total, the fans were standing and cheering during the – I was like, I wish they could have televised this because it was unreal. And you're right. But I think that, and we talked about this, the last 5 minutes of the second period, once we got 5-on-5 again, the chances started happening again. And I'm thinking, come on, score now.
Yeah.
Make it 3-2, because then the belief would have been back. The crowd would have been in it.
We did get back on the forecheck at the end.
We did, man. We were all over them again. So that's what I'm saying. Guys, we didn't have a sniff of this against Minnesota. Not even a chance.
Timmy, it's not guys. You have to look right here. Tell Cromer. Okay.
Yeah. Well, this is what you asked me about being a fan, growing up being a fan, then doing what I do.
Yep.
You're exactly right. But I learned. I think it was the first week I started doing this game. The Blues cheered, and I'm working a game. My boss turns around, and looks at me. We don't cheer in the trenches. And I went, oh, shit. Okay. And the reason he said this to me is because I need to be calling up a graphic. It's Jamie's third career playoff goal. I need to be figuring out replays right away.
When the hell that
happened? So we're working. Wow.
20 years later.
So when
later.
The puck goes in. Yeah.
Junior?
Yeah, exactly.
That was per game.
When the puck goes in, I need to be thinking immediately what to do next, not celebrating. And that was his point. Having said that, I do squeeze in, especially in the playoffs, Yeah, and then it's quickly right away. All right, let's go there. Let's go there. Let's go there.
But you're a veteran now, so nobody says anything.
Well,
to you,
and
right?
Yes, and it's kind of commonality. People start to look. Hey, we tease each other about you can't cheer too much. It's funny the way TV has gone. Like most companies, figuring out a way to do things, you know, more efficiently and cheaper. There are a lot of times we do a game with another Fox affiliate. Right in the same truck. So their producer director team is just on the other side. So, and there's like a half wall that separates us. So if they score the goal, I hear them cheering. And if we score, and then I'll typically get off headset, walk over them, and go, boys, seriously, you're going to cheer in the truck right now? And so we have a little mini war going on between us.
That'd be great. It'd be a great, like, 5-on-5 inside the truck.
Oh, yes.
You button down the hatch.
Oh, yeah. I've thought about it more than once.
That'd
Let's
be great,
that
actually.
Way.
But, Kimby, we should get involved in that.
You guys would like that because, we want our teams to win more than anybody. But, you know, when we hear that on the other side, it fires us up just like it would you guys on the bench. So it's funny that happened, but... yeah, emotions run high everywhere.
I like that.
Well, they run high on social media. Jamie, you have covered in your notes here a couple of things. The number one, I'm not going to say the number one thing, but the top comments that fans want to know today for sure are they want Barbashev back in, and they'd like to see him in for number 12.
There's
your
smart
thoughts?
Ones right there.
Your thoughts? That was a salvo.
Do you like that?
Ooh. Yeah. You know, I will say this. Yuri Laterra has been in the middle of a lot of stuff in the last couple games that he's played.
Middle of the ice.
He's been in the middle. Whether it's good or bad or indifferent, he's
look at Kimball. I wish I could video the look.
Game five, the last, when they beat Minnesota, the kid was
great.
Phenomenal.
Yeah,
phenomenal.
Yeah, he had a
and
great
he
game
got
five.
Involved.
Yeah, he was,
I mean,
yep.
Here's the deal. We were laughing last night because I said the poor son of a bitch. He even got so involved that he dropped the mitts and started to fight. He threw three punches. The referees didn't think they were very good, so they only gave him 2 minutes for roughing. So, you know, things are tough when you can't even get a fight in there when you throw three punches. Yeah. But, look, I think Laterra has played better. I thought he played good in Minnesota. I thought that he was involved yesterday. There are times where some of the complacency started to leak back into his game throughout it, and the time in the first period specifically, he had split the D, he had a breakaway. All he had to do was pick his head up, and he just dropped the puck. It's like he didn't want the breakaway. But he's involved in all the bullshit out there. You know, whether he's the guy that's getting lit up in these, I mean, he's everywhere. Guys are kicking the crap out of him, but at least he's like involved. Now, I do think it's time at the end of the day to swap in Barbashev for him. And I think that it's probably good for the young guy. He's been out now a couple of games, get that hunger in his game. Not that he didn't have it, but keep that, you know, that spark. And then you take Yuri out again and you show him the game tapes and say, hey, look, this is what we want. This is what we don't want. So when you get back in, this is what we want. And now you take him out of the lineup. Next time he gets back in there, hopefully he gives us the Game 5 performance against Minnesota. And if he can start to do that consistently, then we won't even have to have these conversations.
I agree with Jamie, what he's saying. I think, and I won't even question who's coming in and out of this lineup because I think Yo's got this. I think he's reading this team pretty good right now. He's pulling the right switches. He's knowing when to pull guys out and put guys in. He's got a pulse of this team, and that's a good thing for a coach. So, you heard last night how the Blues have been the best team going down the stretch here. So the man knows what he's doing. So if he feels that it's time to go, but if the kid could come in and play Game 5 like all the time, he's going to be a regular in any damn lineup in the league because the kid showed that he wanted to be there. And so I commend what Yo put him in there for. And of course, you got to go back to him if he does that.
You can't take him out after he plays a good game like that.
But you remember he came in, or they made the changes after the first game in the Minnesota series. So that's when Barbie came in. You know, it was funny. I remember in Minnesota, they were talking about this. Blues win the game. They make lineup changes. Minnesota doesn't.
You know,
and it was interesting.
But that goes to the feel of like Kimby saying.
You're right. He's got a great feel.
I think Yo, too, and as we've watched him here, I think when he can and the roster is all healthy and everything, I think he likes to go with experience. And I think a lot of coaches in the National Hockey League like to go to experience.
Well, I think this time of year it's natural.
Yeah.
Well, right? and that's why Laterra went back in the lineup in Minnesota for sure.
And it was a good call. Now, whether he's the guy to come out or not, to me last night, I'd like to see him get back to game five like he was against Minnesota. And the easy swap is to put in Barbashev, who's done nothing wrong. Yeah. He's played great, played solid, played really good for a young guy. So you make the swap for a game, and then maybe you go one in, one out, depending on how it goes. Unless one of them really has an unbelievable game, then you double down with them.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be my thoughts on that.
Need more out of 21. Sorry.
Well, here's where it stems the problem with him last night is, and
the source of my frustration, well, and you know it.
You know, we talked about this, and Patrick Berglund for me has been, he's had a bit of a roller coaster career here with the Blues. And we talked about it in the season where he came in with all these high expectations of being a 40 goal scorer and all this. And I never really thought he was that. And he wasn't. So then over the course of his time in St. Louis, I think we finally figured out he's a good third-line center, big, strong, hopefully 15 to 20 goals a year, and those are the expectations that should be set for him. Now, that being said, he's got to win faceoffs. And last night, he was the worst faceoff guy in the game. I think at one point, he had 2 wins and 11 losses in the dot, which you can't have that. I mean, technically, or usually, he's going to be playing against the other team's top lines because he's supposed to be the shutdown center or the big, strong centerman. So if that's the case where we're losing possession of the puck immediately all the time to their best line, you're not setting yourself up for success. So for me, I think he needs to be engaged physically a little bit more. He's a big body. He doesn't have to run around and kill people, but he's a big body. He needs to get in there and finish his hits, get to the front of that, and he certainly needs to win the faceoffs. And in my opinion, down low in the defensive zone, he has to be hungrier to regain possession of the puck and help his D-men out so the Blues can get out of their zone.
I am not a fan of this guy. I have not been all year a fan. I never have been. But I'll tell you who would like him is Billy the Kid. Because this guy comes to the bank and he robs the biggest bank every 3 times a year. And he gets the biggest contracts going. And I go, wow.
Oh, my God. Wow.
But it's amazing. But I know, you know who does like him? The GM likes him because he keeps signing this. And he went on a stretch here where he was scoring some goals.
He played great for like 2 months.
And boom, there's the contract.
I believe this year was his best year overall in the St. Louis Blue.
For sure.
Yep. So the 1 year where I really believe he earned his contract.
Does he take a horse to the rink? Do you ever see one?
I've seen a lot of different masks.
Kid.
He wears a mask on payday.
That's an all-time classic. But no, according to Blues fan out there, the two things that we've got to clean up that cost us to lose that game was bad refereeing and faceoffs.
Well, the bad refereeing, it's a coin toss there. You never know what you're going to get.
That's right.
It's like Forrest Gump said, it's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. So you got to deal with it. And usually, both teams have to deal with it. Now, we've been on the short end of the stick for 2 games in a row here now. But usually, the referee stuff evens itself out. As far as faceoffs go, we got to be better. We got Paul Stastny back in the lineup, supposed to be our good faceoff guy. My biggest frustration is why are we not having Vladdy Sobotka take faceoffs? He was over 60% in the dot. And if you look at his career, he's over 60% in the dot. And he's out there with Laterra, who's a centerman. So you do it one of two ways. One, you tell Laterra, cheat your ass off. And if you get thrown out, big freaking deal, we have Vladdy there.
Right.
So if he doesn't get thrown out, maybe he cheats enough to win the faceoffs. Or you go in there straight up and say, Vladdy, you're going to take all the faceoffs. You'll swap out as soon as the draw is done. But you've got to give yourself a better chance in that faceoff dot. I mean,
Now, having said that, they got killed on the dot in the Minnesota series. Okay, and thankfully
to
their defense.
Up to you eventually.
You're right. You can't keep going to the well there, and I understand that. It's easier to start with the puck, especially when you're talking about 91's line. If they don't start with the puck, look out. But having said that, for the first game, remember they had days off here, boys. Kind of ramped it down mentally, trying to think about that. No real rivalry, no real reason to get up against Nashville. Slowly kind of working themselves back into this series. Hey, I thought 27 wasn't real good last night. I mean, so when your captain is not real sharp, listen, we talked about this. The passes were in feet. They were over-skating pucks. Some bad decisions on the ice. I think they were kind of sloppy at times, and they also looked really good at times. So that just tells me they're still a little bit rusty. Nashville wasn't dominating by any point of the imagination. So I kind of like where we're at here. I would have loved to have won game one because I think it was there for the taking. Having said that, I'm excited because it's not like we're running into a brick wall defensively here. All this neutral zone trap and all that, Mike did a good job figuring that out. They got pucks in deep and behind, and when they were 5-on-5 and they got the lines rolling again and got the forecheck going, it opened up space. Now, I agree with you. There were a couple guys that had off nights, but I'll be curious to see game two here. There, we'll see. Again, I think if the Blues are going to win, they got to get key goals from their secondary scoring. But I thought Vladdy looked really good. Jaden hadn't done much, hadn't had the puck a lot the first two periods, but when he got it in the third, man, I mean, he picked up where he left off. So,
I think last night was a typical. It reminded me of a basketball game. You know how the flows go. They score 10 points, and then so there's pressure here, and then the other team gets pressure. So if I'm a Blues fan right now, I'm not panicking over what I saw last night. Like I said, I think this is going 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And I think the Blues, the way they're playing, they're in every game. And when we go to face-offs, what we were just talking about, I wish someone, when Fiddler on the Roof goes down on his knees and takes a face-off, would just cold cock the son of a bitch and get rid of him. Because he's down on his damn knees. And back in the day, when you go down that low, boy, there might come a stick
to your
head. The
butt end be coming across there.
I wish someone would just tap that up because we'll get him standing up again anyway.
Wow. Yeah. First of all, I love that you just said that. It's awesome. But second of all, where the face-offs came into play is the special teams. That's the biggest thing.
Well, for sure, yeah.
If you're on the power play and you win the face-off, and we saw that in the second period, if the Blues were fortunate enough to win just one of those face-offs, maybe we're not looking at a goal against. Maybe we're not. Maybe we're not looking at another penalty if they can win the face-off because you know how it is, right? One, you know, the butterfly effect, right? One small thing changes the course of events that follow.
You just don't want to lose them clean. That's the whole key to it.
Yeah, you don't want to lose them clean, and then you don't want to lose every single one of them.
Yeah, you got
because Nashville looked like all they had to do there is they had like a playbook that they were going to, and it's like quarterback, you know he's going to get the ball, right?
Yeah.
So here we go. We're going to run our play.
Based on how, and you played for Robbie Fatorik, and you know how Robbie was, every time the faceoff was taken, the centerman, his job was if you just tie that guy up, the wingers are the guys coming in to win the faceoff. Yeah. That's how Robbie did it.
Centerman, just don't lose the faceoff.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And what you said, and we saw this, it was Berglund against Johansson in the start. But then I think he started rolling, he rolled Paul out there for a while, trying to slow him down a little bit. So I see what you're saying. It's a chess match for both coaches out there. But you're right. They're going to have to prove they got to win the draws against the Johansson line for sure.
You got to do it. You got
especially
teams.
Defensive zone because otherwise 59 and 76 are back there and it's set play bomb.
But you know how big faceoffs like this has been going on for way before we were born. Guys throw. Why do coaches put two centermen on the ice? Because that's how important they are in case one gets thrown out. And that's sometimes right. back in the day, you try to get
tell
thrown
the guy,
out with the guy.
Cheat your ass off. Yeah. And I've been talking about it for two series now. Yeah. You send the first guy in, you know, like even the centerman who goes in, he goes, okay, guys, here's the deal. I'm going to cheat my ass off here.
Yeah.
So if I get thrown out, you'll take the next draw, but you're going for it. And if you don't get thrown out, well, shit, you have an advantage.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that because Timmy will smile when I say this. We used to have a good friend when it came to hockey that used to say, if you don't cheat, you're only cheating yourself.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yep.
Remember that clown?
Yes.
I say clown affectionately, of course.
Yeah.
Hey, we want to, before we get into what you guys would like to see better here on Friday night, I want to talk for a minute.
I want a better performance from you is what I want.
What a better performance from me. I didn't do anything wrong. I wasn't out there. I wasn't
the negativity.
Hey, listen,
like
let me tell you something.
It looked like you ate half a bag of Sour Patch Kids before
let me tell you
came
something.
In here.
Well, it was a combination of things. But let me tell you watch the tape back and watch a couple of the way that those guys skated in a playoff game, and you'd be pissed off.
Oh, Debbie Downer. Debbie Downer, huh?
That pisses me off.
You're supposed to add water to your lemonade.
I want to talk a little bit about the youth, the St. Louis Youth Report. I want to talk to Tim about something because he was a fan, unlike you guys. You guys were players, I mean, in that content. But I want to remind everybody to make sure you check out NelsonLandServices.com. Good friend of the show, Scott and his wife, 5-star locally rated landscaping company, Nelson Land Services. Give them a call, 636-244-5651. The only name in landscaping you need to know. They do professional landscaping at reasonable cost. reasonable cost. Scott Nelson, the owner, they provide competitive lawn service at affordable rates and top-notch professional services. They really asked us to help get the name out here in St. Louis. They do a ton of work down at the lake. You drive by those beautiful homes, I guarantee you've seen their work. But they'd like to build their business up here in St. Louis as they move this way. NelsonLandServices.com. Give them a look. I guarantee you'll like what you see. And, of course, your good friend Sean Vinson and the whole group over at Vinson Mortgage. You can chat live with a loan officer at VinsonMortgage.com and get the information you need instantly. Visit VinsonMortgage.com. Click chat with a mortgage expert. You can connect live and in real time to one of their professional loan officers. They can help you figure out the best way to reach your family's financial goals. You want to get qualified to buy a new home in 2017? Call Vinson Mortgage and get pre-qualified in less than 5 minutes. You know the number, 314-839-9999, or simply visit VinsonMortgage.com. I know right now we're in playoff mode and we're kind of in the off season of hockey, but obviously with your SynergyHockeySkills.com and everything you got going on over there for the summer, I don't want to get completely away from it. I want to talk, I brought Tim in today and to talk about hockey and the fact that he's a professional within the business now, but we both grew up in a time where we talk a little bit about the effect Brett Hull had on hockey here in St. Louis. Tim, I'd love, because really at the end of the day, your passion and everything kind of came from that era, and it changed you. And we talk about how some of these things that went on to grow youth hockey in the Midwest in general, but St. Louis, of course. And now you fast forward to today, Darren and I talk about this all the time. We hate to talk good about you when you're here. It's easier when you're gone. But you pass that torch on down, and things keep going. And with everything you're doing with the youth here in St. Louis, not even just on the ice, the things you're doing behind the scenes with the rinks and the setting up programs and things like that. But, Tim, go back to those days when you and I say this on here all the time. They don't realize, I think, that it's you I'm talking about. When we would go over to these Blues games and buy $11 tickets and sit in the rafters and go to the Hill, and we felt like we were going to go watch Brett Hull score a goal every night, which is what he did. But that boom and the effect it had on your life as well, because at that time we really were just kids.
Yeah, it's funny you said that. I even kind of go back a little bit further than that, Jimmy. The 1980 Miracle on Ice. Sure. I think it was the first time I knew hockey was a sport, to be honest with you. I had a friend my age in middle school, and I went to his house, and he was, for whatever reason, a big Boston Bruins fan, and it turned the AM radio on and listened to the Blues for the first time when I was in seventh grade. So I started following then, heard Dan Kelly's voice, brought me in, started playing street hockey and pickup hockey and learned how to skate and all those things because of kind of that moment. But in St. Louis, I'll never forget March of 1988 and that trade was made and a little pudgy guy that couldn't skate but could shoot it really well came into town and changed everything in this town. And the rink they're playing in is due to the guy. So, it was electric at that time. I mean, Kimby, you played with him, at that time. He was like a rock star around here. We were... Let's see, 80, I have to do my math, minus the one.
Math on this show, by the way.
18, 19, 20, something like that when this was going down. So it was a great part of our time here, and I think it electrified not only me, but everybody else who were casual hockey fans and kind of put the Blues more in the mainstream, of St. Louis sports, because it wasn't. But when he came along and then OT came and joined him, I mean, for 2 years, I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Huh? Well, the Holly phase, the key to it all is nowadays when the Blues score five, everyone gets a free cup of coffee. But back in the day when Holly scored a goal, everyone got lucky. So that's where the phase
came
in.
Sure.
Well, we have so many hockey players now.
Well, the interesting thing was if you remember what made Hull so special, when we were young.
Yeah.
Do you think it would have been the same if Brett wasn't who he was? Because it would have been different if a guy rolled into town and put up all these points and was just this vanilla guy. But don't you remember how much we love the fact that he was outspoken, that he was fun?
Yeah.
You could go to Humphreys and see Darren. Really, we'd see Darren, Kelly Chase, and Brett Hull at Humphreys every weekend.
Every Wednesday.
Or during, we used to go on the weekend, of course, but... These guys were at the bar after the game talking to people like everyday guys.
Yeah, I mean, I was going back to college at that time, so you're right. You know, Boomer's down the landing. The boys know all the stops. You get to know them. Humphreys, is when I was at SLU, was two doors down from me, so we'd run in a few guys over at Humphreys all the time, and then Schmeezing's and all kinds of places. You kind of, if you were in the hockey crowd or in the know, that was the best part, is you could hang out with them. And I say this now, I haven't seen you in a while, but I tell everybody this. Another big change that I don't see in hockey, and maybe in all professional sports, but definitely hockey, is when I first started in my career in those early 90s. When you hear coaches and GMs say, we need a road trip to get the boys together, okay, early in the season, that meant when we go on the road, everybody goes out after the game. They usually spent the night. Like, let's say we played Calgary on a Thursday and you wouldn't play Vancouver till Saturday. We would spend the night Thursday in Calgary. Everybody would know what bar we would all go to afterwards. They'd even
Cowboys.
Include me. Yeah.
And, see, he does know the spots.
Cowboys.
I imagine that.
Right. And it'd be freezing ass cold. And even the guys would say to me as I'm wheeling the TV trunks in, Timmy, we're going to Cowboys. Go to the back door. Show me your pass. You get in. And I'd walk in. And not just one or two guys, Jimmy. Everybody, the whole team was there. And you don't see that anymore. And so when I hear about bonding or guys playing for each other, when you guys hear those terms still coming from the older group, that's what they're talking about. Guys are playing for each other because they know about their family. They know about their wife. They know about their girlfriend. They know about them personally. And they have a bond.
That story brings a tear to my eye. I remember.
I was going
to
say.
It was awesome.
I was looking over there. Did you see the look on Kimby's face? Well, the longing?
I thought he did.
Yeah. Right?
I thought he said, going to be a cowboy.
That's
he
right.
Looked like, he looked like the guy in Napoleon farted. Dynamite that wanted the time traveler to work so he could go back in time.
Oh, my God. I thought he was gassy. It was the best time of all. You know, and I was a fly on the wall for all of it, luckily enough. But you're right. Even in St. Louis, the guys would go. Out. Yeah. You know, I mean, what, Holly met his first wife at Trainwreck, right?
It was one.
Okay. So I'm just saying, I'm just saying the boys weren't afraid to go out even in their hometown, and you could go up to them and hang out with them and feel like you know them. And that just didn't happen the other
sports.
But
see, that's you're talking about a guy, though, Holly. Let's be honest, though. He just, when you put a microphone in front of him, and you don't know what the hell's coming out of there.
But that was great.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Guys are so worried about saying that anymore. Like, you get, back in the day, you got Holly shooting his mouth off down in Chicago. You got JR. You don't know what the hell's coming out of his mouth. But he had those personalities, and that's what was so good about Holly. He shot his mouth off. He went out, and he could sit at Humphreys or wherever you were, and you would hear the story right out of the guy's mouth if you come up to him. It wasn't like, get the hell away from me. I'm Brett Hall. Holly would sit there and talk to you. He'd probably even buy you a drink, you know.
Oh, and he did.
So, yeah. But that's the kind of guy
he bought us a drink. You never did.
Oh, I knew better than that. So,
well, he just, to your point, Kimmy, I don't care if you're the media, if you're the guy at the bar, it doesn't matter. If you ask him a question, you're going to get his opinion. And it didn't matter.
Yes.
Whether the GM, president, media, just average Joe.
And I hate to say it, he's pretty knowledgeable man, though, when he gets talking about the game. You just listen to him.
Yes.
His shit's pretty good. It's not like he's making it up and, you know, Joe Schmoe is, I was doing this and that. Holly, you know, he's pretty well on cue in what he's saying, usually. Right. It comes across in a bad way. But
Smart guy, Kimby. Yep. You know, you score goals the way he did. Obviously, he was talented in shooting the puck, but his talent really revolved around thinking the game, you know, and getting to the open areas, finding a way to be in the right spot, being in the right spot for a pass, you know, whatever. So you talk about how smart he is. He played the game with more smarts than he did physical ability, if that even makes sense.
Speaking of that, though, the one thing I find interesting, because he's been around us now for, I don't know, the last 5 years or whatever, but the one guy who sparks his eye and he kind of smiles whenever you bring up this kid's name, I think we all know it. It's the Russian version of him is Tarasenko. I mean, you guys, there's a lot of similarities. I mean, he shoots it like him. In fact, the first few games when I heard about this, we'd look for a camera because I told the director, if Vladdy scores, I want to see Brett right away because he's the only guy that Holly really gets excited about. I mean, kind of does the same thing. If you watch him, if you're at the rink, watch him how he just skates into nowhere. Skates in even on faceoff sometimes, he's way off by the bench, and everybody's like, where the hell is Vlad? He's not even in the play. Well, that's what Brett used to say. I'm going to get so far out of the play that I'm in the play. And so there are a lot of similarities, other than the fact he's left-handed. But, I mean, the snapshot there, the wrist shot is there. His knowledge of where to go without the puck is unreal. Are there a few things you'd like to change about him? Sure. But I tell you what, I think if he was if he was a North American, he'd be just as outspoken as Brett too.
He just hasn't got it. He's got to find this Adam Oates. So he ain't found that yet. So
yeah.
And once he does that, it might be a different animal.
Correct. Yeah. And we haven't had one.
With that Brett Hall, the way that Brett Hall, or if you're saying that he's similar to Brett Hall. Holly needed Oatsy and even Craig Janikum, he had the smarts to do it.
Yeah.
And Holly could play off that, but glad he don't have that just quite yet. He hasn't found it yet.
Yeah, you know, and again, I wanted to get your thoughts on it because obviously you parlayed that into a career, not just being a fan.
Yeah.
You know, well, but it's a fine line that you walk because you know, I mean, you lived your love for the sport.
Yeah,
turned it into being able to do it every day. But I just, you know, I, like I said, we've been friends a long time, you know, see how well you're doing within that. But I can't help but think back to those days. Again, they were the greatest days.
I
think about all the time.
Yeah.
You know, have no money in your pocket hardly, and you go over to the Checker Dome and have an $11 ticket, and you go sit in the rafters, you sneak beer in, although we had Fish on here 1 week, and he says he holds a record. He snuck in, was it 19 Buckhorns?
Yeah, he'd just go to the door, wait for the special night,
drop some crazy number on us.
You know the greatest thing ever was? The truth is, if you know the guy, and Tim does, Joe Schnefke, who's one of the greatest guys you ever meet in your life, honest as the day is long, too, he verified the story. But he told us the rest of the story. And the thing that we didn't realize is Fish got cornered in the John, went in there to hide. And he thought it was the cops coming to get him. And it was Joe. And they finally, when they got out of there, they took the thing out and they shoved him down in their boots. 19 Buckhorns. Here's the other. The most amazing thing of that story is, have you ever drank a warm Buckhorn? Have you drank a Buckhorn in general?
No.
So it is good. But no,
sure Fish wasn't in the bathroom trying to be that part, Dumb and Dumber, where Cam Neely comes in. You sure he wasn't doing that?
That would have been good. No, the best part of our deal was Timmy. Hey, this is what I was saying was impressive about Tim. Tim had a good job. So actually, while we didn't have any money, Tim did, so we had Bud Light, is what we snuck into the games were cans of Bud Light. So that was a good thing, of course.
Yeah, it's funny looking back on it, you know, the moves I made and how lucky I got. But again, it was just right place at the right time when I graduated from school. I really didn't have a job, but I knew somebody, and they knew that person at Anheuser-Busch, and that person needed an intern for the summer, and I made more money bartending at McGurk's than I did the first year at Bud Sports. But I kind of, the first time I walked into a TV truck, it was a Cardinal game, and all the monitors on the wall in front of us, and I see the producer and director going away, and I'm like, I had no idea what was going on. But I kind of had a feeling that this was for me. You don't have to wear a tie every day. You don't have to get up at 6 a.m. and be the first guy at the office. That was never me. That wasn't my strength. But it just so happened that in 93, 94, you know, I was a stage manager, so I kind of lined up the interviews. I'll never forget the first game. Bruce was doing between periods interviews, and he's like, Edmonton was in town, and he's like, Tim, who do you want to interview in the first period? I'm like, you're asking me? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, just walk down to the room and tell the PR guy, and they'll grab the guy and bring him back. And I'm like, seriously? He's like, yeah, go down there. So I walked down to the room, and Gretz is walking in there, and Kevin Lowe's walking in there, and Mark Messier is walking in there, and Grant Fuhr's walking in. I'm thinking, oh, shit. PR guy, I forget his name, Bill Tuelli or something. I said, Bill, Tim with St. Louis TV, can we interview Mr. Gretzky? He's like, yeah, sure, hold on a second. Comes in and hands me, and I walk Wayne down to our studio. And we
but
do
before
the
he did that, he says, like, we'll get him for you, but can you get out of the showers, please?
Yeah, okay. but I'll never forget this because I said this after the game was over. I'm like, I just watched him on SportsCenter with my friends the night before, and the next night I'm meeting him face-to-face to do this. So as crazy as it was for me then, I just couldn't believe it was happening, and they were paying me to watch a hockey game. I've got $125 to do that, by the way, to watch from the shower. So it was a
bird watch.
Gig.
That's a long way from $5 an hour at Bud Sports.
Professional bird watcher.
Breaking
ankle grabber.
Putting highlights together from, what was it, football? Big 12, wasn't it? You used to do highlights from Big 12 and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. All kinds of stuff. So I got a great feel for sports and sports marketing and television at Bud Sports, and it just became easy. They started traveling another guy in the half year, 94, 95. So in January that year, I started traveling, and I've been doing basically every game that that I could sense. And so
let me tell you something, and kind of knowing this now, obviously as a player, I wasn't really aware of it, but since I've had the, you know, the good fortune of doing some work with Fox Sports and with Timmy and with the rest of the crew, it's pretty wild to watch it happen. And he talks about having to be ahead of the game or being on his toes. It's crazy because, you know, we'll be sitting there and Scott Warman, myself, or Bernie Federko, and we're watching it happen. And, like, we process the game pretty fast as players. Like, we're watching it, you know. And as we're processing it, and Tim and some of the other producers are nailing this, like, you know, get the clock time on this. This happened here. Let's cue this. Let's rewind this. Have this set up. It's amazing to see how fast their brains are moving in these directions to make sure that they have the right setups, the right camera angles, the right players, the right replays, all this stuff. So, you know, Timmy talks about his job. We poke fun at him here because I like to poke fun at Timmy.
But, well, so do I. But I got a lot of good stories about Tim that we won't talk about on
story. It's not an easy job. It's not an easy job, and I can see why there's a lot of people that don't do this job or that fail at this job is because it's difficult and stressful while you're in the moment, for sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I'm happy for him, you know, proud to be his friend. I, you know, again, anytime I think somebody takes a chance and it works out for him from hard work, it's, you know, you feel, especially if they're a good friend.
I told Rivs on the way over here. I mean, I worked at the mill one summer.
Yeah, that was the job that we all
opportunity.
That was the job that we all were like, are you crazy?
He says you got your job, Kimball. I don't know about that.
I had a great job over there.
What happened? Oh, Kimby was half asleep. I was worried about him there.
Yeah. I think we were all concerned that our meal ticket was quitting his job because we were all working part-time gigs while this guy was making all the money. So we went to the tavern. We had good money. So hey, let's get in. Before we go, as we're running out of time here, I want to get around the table here and, you know, your thoughts on the upcoming game and where you see it going. Jamie, we'll start with you.
Well, I think the Blues need to start the game where they ended it. Last night, they just need to come out guns a blazing, get in on the forecheck. I think they realize, like Darren said, they've figured it out that they got to get bodies to the net, pucks to the net. And Pekarinen is a great, great goalie. We got to keep it away from him on the dump ins. We have to put it into, I call them the quiet areas, but they're really, you know, the biggest danger areas of the ice, which is in the corners. Force those D to go back, the Yossis, the Ellises, and you know, make contact with these guys. And then once we get puck possession, we can't just give it back. We got to grind them down, get bodies to the net, and get pucks through there. So to me, the recipe is pretty simple. You try to duplicate what you did in the third period and do it more consistently. And then obviously we want to up our percentage in the faceoff circle and stay out of the box. And to me, that's all there is.
Kimby?
Yeah, I agree with Riz. They're in a playoff series now, and I hope they realize that. And they need to start the game like they ended the game. And I believe the game two and going forward is going to be a lot put on the Blues defenseman because Nashville's coming to the net. Allen needs to see the puck. And if he can see the puck, he's showing that he's going to stop the damn thing. You know, he's proven that he is. And then vice versa. Our forwards need to get to the front of Pekarinen. They show that they can score on this man, which Chicago couldn't do. So we've showed we've done that. So I think that's the recipe. Get to their net and clear our net, and let's see where it falls here.
You agreed with him. That might be is that the first time he said that since we started doing the show?
Usually he just disagrees with me because he wants to be a jerk. But
no.
Oh, come on.
Usually.
Timmy. Hey, when you're going home today, just explain to the word graduation means to him.
Okay, we'll do.
If you don't know what it is.
No worries. Kimby just figured out how to spell it.
I got to go. I got to go to the dentist, so we got to hurry up.
Go ahead, Timmy.
The only thing I would tooth worked on? Yeah. Isn't that a wooden tooth anyways?
Yeah, nice. You're excused. Absolutely. Timmy,
the only thing I would add, you guys, is stay 5-on-5 to me.
Well.
Stay out of the box. Don't take penalties or needless penalties. And keep it 5-on-5 because, to me, when we're 5-on-5 and we get four lines rolling, they can hang with them. Again, like I said earlier today, I think they should be happy with the fact of the quality scoring chances. The scoring chances in the triangle and in the prime scoring chance were way up last night than over it was the previous series. So there's a lot to be positive about. Just stay out of the box.
Yeah, I came in here today. I was upset at you turned it into something it wasn't, by the way. Thanks, Jamie. But I was.
Well, you came in here with sour.
Well,
look
no,
on
I was. I, no,
like,
listen.
My God.
We didn't even get into it because I decided. But the reality is, I can't stand everybody blaming everything on referees. I can't handle it.
No.
I can't handle it.
It's both for both.
Drives
teams.
Me crazy.
I agree.
The game was rough in the third period the way they really want to do it. Now, people were blank, like the very first one, Perron clipped a skate. What do you want him to do? Now, they could call it, not call it, whatever, but he did it, and they called it.
Reputation got him that one.
Yeah, so, you know, that is what it is. But I just, you know, the game, in the third period, people were like, are they ever going to call anything on national? Like, they could have called 10 things on us in the third period, too, and that's where we need to be. Now, did they owe us a couple? I don't know how you go through a whole game and you're 5-on-3'd. And you get nothing, but that's fine. I mean, that neither here nor there. Bottom line was, I agree. Somebody said earlier, I think it was Timmy, the game was there for the taking. It would have been nice to get it. Do I think this means that we're going to lose the series? No. I still say it goes 7 and we win at home. But there's a couple of guys I need more effort from, and we discussed them on here. We don't need to beat the dead horse here. But that upsets me. Anytime you're in a big game like that and I see guys not moving their feet, that irritates me. It irritated me when Ken Hitchcock got fired. I'm sorry. We had guys not moving their feet, and a guy lost his job. I don't care how this worked out. I don't like it. That's just a personal thing. But the social media thing really bothers me when people want to blame a loss on refereeing or whatever. We can talk about faceoffs all day long because you can't debate that. We got our ass kicked. I love your thoughts on it. You know, we complained about Minnesota cheating, supposedly, right? Well, what are you supposed to do? Yeah, what are you supposed to do? Why don't we try that? It's like, hey, why don't we try that?
But it seemed to work okay for them.
But again, I like our chances. You know, I think if we win game two, which I suspect we will, and we take one of two in Nashville and we come back here, I think game five is the key game in this series as long as we handle business.
Yeah. We're in this series, man.
Yeah. Oh, we are for sure, but they do have to win game two.
Yes.
You can't go out of here 0-2.
No, it's a big win, so for
big,
sure.
Big must win, but good stuff. And again, a special thanks to all the group over at Vincent Mortgage. Make sure you call that number, 314-839-9999, or visit vincentmortgage.com. And, of course, our good friends and yours, Scott Nelson and family over there at nelsonlandservices.com. Give them a chance as well. Synergy Hockey Skills, you guys heard me mention it earlier, and all the stuff that Jamie does for hockey here in St. Louis. It was really, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask Timmy about today was, as we grew up in that Brett Hull area, and while, you know, through this process came the need for Synergy Hockey Skills and everything that you're doing. So I know there's a lot of people out there that appreciate you and everything you're doing. And again, I like to say this from time to time, it's the things you're doing behind the scenes to make sure that there is hockey in St. Louis for these kids and a place to do it as well. So a lot of good stuff happening there, right?
Yeah, no, we're slammed. Things are going well. We're picking up a lot of speed, and certainly the summertime is going to be huge for us. And we just added a couple of St. Louis Blues youth hockey camps, which if people don't know, we're in full partnership with the St. Louis Blues to run their youth hockey movement. We handle things from the Little Blues to Learn to Play to their youth hockey camps. So we added 2 weeks of St. Louis Blues youth hockey camps. One will be at the Ice Zone, and one will be in Afton. So get on the website, synergyhockeyskills.com. Check it out. We had a lot of fun last year doing those camps, so it should be a great time again this year.
Yeah, it was nice to hear young Mason had met, I think it was Lubos. He was at the one with Lubos.
Yeah.
One of your guys, Bartuchko.
Yeah.
And he helped Scary, obviously, over at McKendree. But really interesting stuff. Timmy, you got something?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, Jimmy, the thing that's most impressive for me watching this whole thing develop over 25 years is that, you know, we kind of expected former players' kids like Matthew and Brady Tkachuk to be NHL players or have the potential to do that. But I think when you're seeing guys that are just normal everyday athletes, Luke Kunin, Clayton Keller come to mind, the other guys that got drafted last year, tells you that the work Jamie and the rest of the alumni are doing is convincing our better athletes who are playing baseball, playing football, could play any sport, because I guarantee you those kids could play any sport at
sure,
a high
athlete,
level.
Athlete plays. Yep.
But their connection, okay, with these kids day in and day out when they're going from hockey season to baseball season to whatever season is drawing them to the sport of hockey. And that's what I'm most proud of, is now we're getting the kids who could play any sport to decide to play hockey, not just former players' kids.
Well, I'm knee-deep in it, in the baseball end of
sure.
it. And I tell people all the time, if you want something for your son, what I would recommend, and I'll throw this to Jamie because I can't believe he would disagree with me on this one, even though he loves to disagree with me in general. But what I tell everybody is, don't do anything blindly. Don't just go. If you really are that, go watch. Yeah. Just go watch what they do.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
different. Yes. It really is. That's no disrespect to some of the great people that are out there trying to help
no,
people.
No,
that's
no.
not what I mean.
No.
But it just, there's something about guys like Jamie who basically, listen, there's a lot of guys that played that don't have that talent to teach. But if you have a guy that played and played at a high level and has that talent,
yeah.
that's when it's special. And that's why I think what he's doing is special.
I'm going to give you an analogy.
Okay.
So
that's a big word for this show, by the way.
Holy moly. Yeah,
it's not real big.
Yeah.
Seven letters.
Kimball was over here, his head would have exploded.
Yeah.
The analogy to me is simple. I've been in St. Louis now since 1992. And I have a daughter who's a junior in high school, and she grew up playing soccer and still does. So I got to know the soccer community really well. Same thing happened over there. They pump out Taylor Twellman and all these national team players through the soccer. Same thing. 1950, they beat England 1-0. Half of those guys lived on the hill in St. Louis and then raised their family over there and trained the next generation, 2, 3, 4 generation of players. And that's why those kids, they're pumping out D1 players left and right. The same thing now, and it's taken a little while, but same thing's happened with hockey.
Well, again, it's not a disrespect to anybody that has a passion to teach the game. Good.
The more people we have teaching the game of hockey, the better it is.
Well,
we're growing the sport. We have the luxury. I say the luxury because I have so many great coaches that help out at Synergy Hockey. And like you said, it's not disrespecting anybody. Anybody who's reaching out and giving of their time or trying to make the sport, whatever sport it is, that they're coaching, trying to make it better, then they deserve a pat on the back. And, you know, I really, you know, I give a pat on the back to the guys who work with me and for me, is the job that they do and the attention to detail and the focus that we have or that they have is second to none. So I think everybody deserves a big high five for these things.
For sure. And like I said, and I can't believe, again, you do generally just disagree with me blindly, but in this instance, would you not recommend if anybody really wants to know what you're about to just come watch?
I would absolutely love it if they
came
and watch what we do. I'm not going to say we're reinventing the wheel, but we do have a unique way of training the athletes and a unique way of going about getting the best results. So most people who come by and take a look, enjoy what we're doing, and they have a lot of questions after, and usually by the time they leave, they're pretty happy about it. So
I have a question, Riz.
Sure.
Is your stuff for beginners, or would you say intermediate or advanced level players?
We do everything from learn to play to working with guys, NHLers, that are looking to improve upon one skill in the off season. So we certainly have a group of coaches, like I said, that can teach all levels of hockey from your basic skating stride all the way up to your advanced game situation maneuvers that you'd use playing on a power play in the NHL. So
wow.
We cover everything from A to Z when it comes to hockey.
Yes, you do. And a little more outside of hockey as well.
A little more outside, yeah.
After over a libation and a story, it's always good as well.
Oh, yeah.
But we appreciate you here. Obviously, I know the fans do as well. It's a great thing to have guys like yourself and Kimball willing to come on a show each and every week and give a perspective that we just don't get typically as fans. We do get it from hockey players a little bit more than we do other sports. They're there as well. I have the opportunity to do the Cardinals show, and a guy like Benji Molina is a lot like you guys. He's more than happy to come on and give a perspective of, yes, I was in the locker room, yes, I was on the field, but I'm also a fan, kind of like you guys are as well, and he's in knee-deep in it. So we're blessed with that, of course. You and Kimball make this show what it is. I'm just along for the ride, which I'm sure you tell everybody and remind everybody. Timmy, it was great having you in today. I've been wanting to do this for a while, and I thought with the playoffs and with Jamie getting his mug on TV as much as humanly possible these days, that this would be a good opportunity to get you in here. So really appreciate it. Happy for you, of course. You know that through the years with our friendship. I've never been happier for somebody than I was for you. Good stuff. Really happy.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. It's always a lot of fun to talk hockey and with you guys. It's very easy. I love the stuff you guys are doing. You're basically like four guys having a conversation at the bar without beer, right?
Well, people think we don't have beer.
Yeah, that's
well, that's right. They can't see. This is radio. Yeah, you got it.
Well, when next year we'll be full-time Facebook Live and YouTube.
Nice.
So the beers. Well, no, by then hopefully Anheuser-Busch is on board and we can drink all the beer we want.
Maybe we'll have Red Bull on board too.
Red Bull and
anybody for Red Bull out there?
Anybody?
Anyone?
Anyone?
Bueller?
Anyone? But no, good stuff.
Thanks,
Timmy.
Man.
And you're always
it.
Welcome, too, by
oh,
the
sure.
way.
Sure, anytime. I'd love to hang out with you guys.
And again, it sounds like you guys drove over together. So did he bellyache the whole way about the drive over?
No, he didn't.
I envision him on the way over cussing me.
No, he said, it's actually, I said, I think I kind of know where I'm going. He goes, well. Let me go. I'll just drive. I owe you a drive anyway. I drove him to the airport in fairness on the last road trip. I said, I'll just pick you up because he wasn't sure where to park for that. So he's like, yeah, I owe you one anyways. And I know where we're going. I said, well, we got to be there a little bit early, you know. And he's like, yeah, no problem. Just meet me at my house at 9. We'll be there. I'm like, okay.
So, I didn't have anything negative to say. In fact, I said some really nice things about Edwardsville.
He did.
Well,
he did.
You should. It's been good to you. I can tell you that.
I'm telling you right now. I said some great things.
Well, we say good things about you, too, especially when you're not here.
Yeah.
Hey,
I don't hear them.
Really appreciate you guys out there. You've made the show, and you continue to help it grow. Don't forget, check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. It's where you find the show. It's also where you can subscribe, which we highly encourage you to do. It is free, and you'll get that notification each time we put out the show. Twitter and Facebook is where you guys have helped us the most. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at STL Blues Podcast. On Facebook, you'll simply type in Blues NHL Podcast. If you'll like us and follow us, and when you see the shows, share it around in an effort to reach all the great Blues fans out there. We would greatly appreciate it. We could not do it without you. Special thanks again to Vincent Mortgage. Make sure you check them out and give them an opportunity for your business. Of course, NelsonLandServices.com as well. LineupMedia.fm and all the great crew here and our producer, Brian. Timmy, thanks for coming in today.
You got it.
Jamie, appreciate you as always. Darren, on his way to the dentist to get that one tooth fixed.
Let's all pray for Darren as he gets his dentures polished today.
Oh, my Lord. I guess we'll just finish with a Let's Go Blues. See you guys at the Scott Trade on Friday. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.